Isn't it true that for many people in Christianity, that's what they have is a gospel of doubt? They're going through life hoping that they're going to make it into the kingdom, hoping they're going to be good enough, hoping they're going to persevere. That's a bad way to live. And oftentimes they're even looking for feelings, but of course feelings fluctuate. What doesn't fluctuate is the Word of God.
Some churches teach that you should have an inner witness from the Holy Spirit concerning your salvation, but how do you determine if that witness is authentic? Is there a more objective way to have assurance of your salvation? Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace in Focus, brought to you by Grace Evangelical Society. Thanks for being with us today. We're focused on teaching God's Word without confusion or ambiguity. We want you to know a little bit more about our ministry here at Grace Evangelical Society. And at the end of today's broadcast, I'm going to tell you how you can get in touch and get involved. Today, we're continuing our series, Confident in Christ, as we think about the place of feelings in salvation. The discussion with Sean and Bob promises to be an interesting one as they cover Romans 8:16. So now, without any further ado, here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Well, you might struggle with assurance, or you might have assurance of your salvation. A lot of people want to know, am I going to go to heaven when I die? And they want to be sure of it. Here at Grace in Focus, we believe that you can have assurance, you should have assurance, and you have it simply by believing in Jesus for what he promised. He promised everlasting life to believers. And if you're a believer, then what do you have? You have everlasting life. Now, not everyone agrees with that. Some people think that just believing Jesus' promise is not enough. What you also get is something called the witness of the Spirit. Can you tell us a bit about that, Bob?
Yes, there is a view that in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, Paul is talking about some sort of mystical inner witness of the Spirit. It's a kind of a feeling we have that is a subjective means of assurance. This is where Paul says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so some people say, we need to look for this mystical feeling inside.
Right. So for them, the promise is important, but it's not really enough. The clincher is when you have this kind of inner witness of the Spirit, whatever that happens to mean. For some people, it's like John Wesley at Aldersgate. When he was first converted, he talked about his heart being strangely warmed.
Right.
Lots of people have warm hearts and heartburn and indigestion and all kinds of other experiences. Is that what this passage is talking about?
No, and that's a very good point. And all of this, by the way, grows out of the Westminster Confession of Faith, which said there are three ways to get assurance. It's like a three-legged stool, and you need all three. The promises in the Bible are the objective means, and then there are two subjective means, the inner witness of the Spirit and the works which the Spirit does in our lives. And they say, you need to look at those. Well, this message we're talking about today is this supposed inner witness, and I think it misinterprets verse 16. Verse 16 says in Romans 8, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Now, I realize there are some English translations that translate that he bears witness to our spirit, that we are children of God. But the Greek is the verb martureo, which means to be a witness. We get the English word martyr from it. Martureo with the word with at the beginning, soon. So it becomes sumartureo, to bear witness with. And you remember in the Old Testament, there's this idea as a matter is confirmed with two or three witnesses. Well, here are two witnesses, the Holy Spirit and our human spirit. And what's lost oftentimes is verse 15. All of this builds off of verse 15, where Paul says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father.
So we're crying out to someone, namely God the Father.
Yes.
So when the Holy Spirit is bearing witness with our spirit, the question is, who are they bearing witness to?
Okay, as we're praying, like when we pray the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, as we say our Father, the Holy Spirit is saying, yes, this is a child of God. And our human spirit is saying, yes, I'm a child of God. Now, I don't believe that Paul is suggesting that we can feel our human spirit saying, yes, we are a child of God.
Or even feel the Holy Spirit saying
or
that.
Or even feel the Holy Spirit saying that. But it's nice to know whenever we pray, our Father who art in heaven, there are two witnesses to the fact that, yes, we are a child of God. The Holy Spirit and our human spirit are both doing that. And so it's an encouragement to pray.
I think this is important to know because, you know, one of the problems in our churches is emotionalism. I think God wants us to worship with our emotions, but sometimes people take that as a substitute and they kind of take it too far. And if you're like me, I'm not a particularly emotional person. And if the witness of the Spirit is some type of great emotion that you feel, and you're supposed to have more assurance based on the great amount of emotions you're supposed to have, then I'm not going to have a whole lot of assurance because I'm not a super emotional person. But this verse says it's not about emotions at all.
No, exactly. And the sad thing, Sean, is people who are very emotional, people who are hysterical and this sort of thing, this verse doesn't give them any assurance either.
That's right, because their emotions are fluctuating and changing. And sometimes they feel it and sometimes they don't. And if their assurance is based on feeling it, there's nothing certain about your emotions.
No, I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ. Now it's called CRU for 4 years, 2 years at Arkansas State and 2 years at NC State. I use the Four Spiritual Laws book a lot. I really, really like this illustration they have when they're giving assurance. They have a little diagram of a small little train, three cars, the engine called fact, the second car called faith, and the caboose called feelings. The train diagram illustrates the relationship between fact, which is God and His Word, faith, which is our trust in God and His Word, and feelings, the result of our faith and obedience. And they say, the train will run without the caboose. However, it would be useless to attempt to pull the train by the caboose. In the same way, we as Christians do not depend on feelings or emotions, but we place our faith in the trustworthiness of God and the promises of His Word. That's what we're saying here today, Sean. Not that we shouldn't have feelings. What Romans 8:16 is simply saying is that whenever we're praying, the Holy Spirit and our human spirit are affirming that, yes, we are a child of God. Isn't it true that for many people in Christianity, that's what they have is a gospel of doubt? They're going through life hoping that they're going to make it into the kingdom, hoping they're going to be good enough, hoping they're going to persevere. That's a bad way to live. And oftentimes they're even looking for feelings. But of course, feelings fluctuate. Our works fluctuate. What doesn't fluctuate is the Word of God. Remember, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God endures forever.
That's right. And it seems like the people that Paul is talking to here, I mean, he describes that type of fear as a form of bondage.
Yes.
Isn't that how you experience that type of fear, not knowing if God loves you, not knowing if you have assurance of salvation, not knowing if Jesus died for you, not knowing if you're one of the elect? That's all. You've just turned inward, and you need to turn outward to the Word of God and put your faith in that external Word coming to you. Let me ask you this question, Bob. When does this witness take place?
Okay, the witness takes place, and it's a dual witness, whenever we pray. When we're praying, this is taking place. The Holy Spirit is bearing witness alongside our spirit. And so the result here is that this is a witness with our spirit, with the Holy Spirit, to God the Father. I grew up in a cult group. When I was 16, I invited Jesus into my heart, probably for the 200th or 300th time. And I felt something. And so I thought, maybe I'm born again now. Now, this was a sinless perfection cult. So we believed once you were born again, you wouldn't sin at all. I remember by the time I was a senior in college, I was having real doubts about whether I was born again, because I'm like, have I not sinned in 4 years? That's kind of hard to imagine. Finally, I got involved with Campus Crusade for Christ, and I heard about the free gift of everlasting life, and it was so liberating. And it had nothing to do with my feelings. I'd had feelings before, and you know what? I changed my testimony. I didn't say, oh, I was born again when I was 16 when I had that liver quiver. I said I was born again at 20 when I heard the promise, he who believes in me has everlasting life.
Well, you know, I have a similar story. I'm a Baptist, as you know, and we Baptists have some pretty terrible way of evangelizing. Okay, I have to admit it, and I've used these bad ways of evangelizing. And one of the bad ways of evangelizing is that we say you have to ask Jesus into your heart. That is Christianese. And you have to ask yourself, what does that mean? I was sharing this with one of my children. She was asking, well, how do I feel if Jesus is in my heart? What, does it feel heavy? Does it feel light? What does it feel like? How does he get in there? Is it like Santa Claus coming down the chimney? And I realized that is, okay, sorry, let me start over. That is not a biblical way to evangelize. All you need to do, honey, is to believe in Jesus for this gift. And I think a lot of people are looking for assurance because they've been confused in their evangelism. And they think Jesus is going to come into their heart and that should feel differently. But Paul says it's not about feeling. It's about believing.
Let me tell you how relevant this is. Just last week, Thursday of last week, a fellow Dallas Seminary graduate called me up. And we got to talking. And in the course of the conversation, he mentioned that he thought there were three bases of assurance. The promises in the Bible, the inner witness of the Spirit, and the works of the Spirit in our life. I told him, I said, you know, that's not right. I know that's well-intentioned, but taking Jesus at his word is what God expects. We're not supposed to add in our feelings and our works. We're just to believe what Jesus said, like John 11:26. Do you believe this? That had nothing to do with Martha's feelings. It had nothing to do with Martha's works. It had everything to do with, was she convinced with what Jesus just said, that he who lives and believes in me shall never die? My friend, all you need to be assured of everlasting life is the objective promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he who believes in me has everlasting life. Don't look to your feelings. Don't look to your works. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is faithful. He keeps his promises.
Thank you, Sean and Bob, for pointing us to the objective truth of God's Word, that feelings fluctuate, but God's Word does not. That is so helpful. This has been a broadcast of Grace in Focus from Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us today. We're seeking to be biblically clear about what saving faith is and what it is not. We'd love to hear from you with your comments. You can contact us at radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. We hope that you plan to travel this journey with us in the days and years ahead. We look forward to it. Please visit faithalone.org to know more about who we are and why we exist. You'll find blog updates, videos, and tools for ministry leaders and pastors. That's faithalone.org. You can also help us sustain this ministry with a financial gift through this secure site. The current series on Grace and Focus is Confident in Christ. The content of this series is also in a book by the same name, Confident in Christ by Bob Wilkin. It can be found on our bookstore at faithalone.org. Finally, thank you so much for being with us today. We hope you'll stop by again tomorrow when Bob and Sean will take a look at 2 Peter 1:10-11, where this phrase appears, make your calling and election sure. What on earth does that mean? We'll find out tomorrow. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.